Friday, December 2, 2022. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means continuing to learn how to be a better dad. Yep, I'm still learning, still figuring it out. It's working out. All things are good here in the Better household. Mother and baby are healthy. I am doing whatever I can to be of service to both of them, and we move on. I haven't had a whole lot of opportunities to really do anything, adventurous in the gambling space, but I was able to get a chance to run over to MGM National Harbor to meet up with my buddy Zach. He's at Gamble Balls on Twitter. It was nice to meet up with him. I've been in and out of MGM National Harbor just to place bets and collect free play, but I'm not hanging around there. I'm in. I get my bet down, and then I collect my free play, and I'm out. That's been my experience there, and I couple that with all the other errands I need to run, right? So I'm not making, luckily the casino is 10 minutes away from me, right? So I can pair it up with some other errands that I need to run and not make it really disruptive to my day necessarily. So I have a handful of things that I want to talk about today. It's just me here, just me on this one, how to be a better dad part two. And there's a handful of things inside of the gambling space, that I want to talk about. We're going to start with, let's start with this DraftKings fiasco. And whether or not you're into sports betting, I think that you might find this interesting. So recently, specifically over Thanksgiving weekend, hundreds if not thousands of DraftKings accounts were hacked into. DraftKings, I don't think, has officially said how these people got into all of these accounts, whether they claim it wasn't any sort of vulnerability or data breach from their part, but that these people acquired passwords with another means. But if you're not familiar, over Thanksgiving weekend, hundreds, if not thousands, of accounts were hacked into, and what they did was they would get into the account. If the account did not have they were able to get in because a lot of accounts did not have two-factor authentication on, and so they would get into the account. They would then change they would update the phone number to another phone number. They would then set up two-factor. They would make a very small deposit of like $5 that would then allow them to make a withdrawal request. And it was often by check being mailed to some random address. And what this did was it left account holders completely unable to get into their account, because when they would go to sign in, the two-factor would kick in and be like, okay, well, we've sent a code to this number, and you quickly realize that's not my number, and now you can't get in. Now, if you're following me on Twitter, at The Better Life, you probably saw me retweet a number of things and make a couple of comments on it. And I want to add to that and clarify a few things. One, my criticism of DraftKings and this whole thing is not necessarily that this happened, because a lot of people use dumb passwords, a lot of people reuse passwords, a lot of people do not have two-factor, as we've learned here, and account security is the user's responsibility as much as it is the platform's, okay? Where my criticism comes in is DraftKings was not talking about it. Despite everybody tweeting at them, reporting, saying, hey, I can't get into my account, DraftKings was not talking about it. In fact, it wasn't until days after people started talking about it that their customer service Twitter account, not their main sportsbook account, but their Twitter account specific to customer service, tweeted something saying, we understand users are having troubles accessing their account. They didn't even like address the real issue or the real concern. They didn't even say, we urge people to update their passwords or anything like that. It was just like a very vague, hey, we know people are having some problems. thing. And that was it. And the main account didn't retweet it or nothing. It was just from this. And then it wasn't until 24 hours later that they finally put out a statement saying, hey, it looks like there's an issue with passwords and stuff like that. We're working on it. We assure that all users' account funds are safe, or that you'll be redeemed, or whatever the wording was exactly. And we urge people to change their passwords, etc. Not only was this such a failure in communication, but BetMGM, FanDuel, and other sports books were already emailing their users about the importance of account security before DraftKings admitted that there was account security issues and advising their users to safeguard their accounts. Absolute, like, horrific communications. And that's where my criticism comes from. And DraftKings will stay afloat because they are the name in the business, right? Like, you know, them and FanDuel, and I think BetMGM and Caesars and stuff are, you know, possibly 1B, if not, you know, tier 2. You know, everybody thinks of DraftKings and FanDuel, and I think DraftKings will survive solely on the fact that they're a recognizable name and that they're bought in with users and stuff. But man, their decision making, I mean, Jason Robbins didn't address anything. The main account didn't, the main Twitter account didn't. There wasn't even like an email that went out either until like way too late. There wasn't even like an email. Look, fine, you don't want to publicly like say, hey, we're having a problem. So I'll admit my account was one of them. I tried getting into my account, couldn't, and realized my problem is I didn't have two-factor. I had a unique password, and I'll admit that I was lazy and did not set up two-factor, and thought my unique password. And when I say unique, I mean 15 character completely random password, right? So I'm like, I'm good, and I don't want to bother with two-factor. Well, I know I've learned my lesson now. I was one that got hit with this, and the indicator, and this is why it's important to pay attention to communications front. So the one indicator that I should have had was I think it was on Thanksgiving or the day after, I got an email saying thank you for setting up two-factor with your DraftKings account. And at first it seemed odd because I was like, I didn't do that. But I kind of wrote it. I mean, I was in the middle of like, you know, family stuff, and so I didn't really think too much in. I kind of wrote it off as like, oh, maybe this was an automatic update to the account or something like that, or maybe, you know. And then the next day I tried getting in and I can't, and I realized what the problem was. All that has been taken care of. But here's the thing. I emailed customer service, got nothing. I DM'd their customer service, I got nothing. I followed up 12 hours later on the email, nothing. In fact, I didn't get anything from their customer service via email until like 6 or 7 days after my original email of like, hey, I can't get into my account. By then, it actually had already been settled. They had already reset the account in a way that would allow me to reset the password and bypass the two-factor that was set up. But man, what an absolute train wreck that was from a communication standpoint, customer service. Stuff like this is going to happen. Every account owner that didn't have two-factor has some accountability in this, right? They have to have some ownership of the issue. But DraftKings, you know, so worried about you know, possibly looking like they don't know what they're doing, and then they make it clear that they don't know. It's awful. Anyways, so that was the DraftKings account hack fiasco of the Thanksgiving weekend. From what I see, most people have gotten access to their account again on DraftKings, but. I know people have heard me complain about DraftKings and look, if anybody's wondering, did I get hit? I didn't have any money in the account, so I wasn't really all that worried. I just won. My biggest concern, because I had bets that were in there, my biggest concern was that they were going to go in there and cash out the bets and then try to withdraw. And I was worried not because I thought I was going to lose my money, but if they cashed out the bet, I don't think I would have been able to get the bet back. And that's what I was worried about, that I was going to lose this equity that I had in these bets because they were trying to get me. But that didn't happen. So Needless to say, I've set up two-factor, and let this be a lesson to all of us. If you have a sports book account, if you have any sort of online gambling account where you have funds inside of it or whatever, set up a unique password. Do not use the same password. Do not have like the password you usually use and then DK or FD or MGM at the end of it, right? Don't have any sort of indicator of what changes from password to password. Have a unique password. Use a password vault or password protector if you can. It's a good way to keep your passwords unique and protected without having to remember all of them, but having access to them. And then set up two-factor because, you know, don't want to end up like us and getting hit. But so far, I have not seen anybody claim that all of their money wasn't somehow either protected or you know, given back or however DraftKings did that. But whew, what experience that was. World Cup. I know not everybody's into soccer, but believe it or not, even last week I got a text message from my better half who was like, you know what, I have to admit, I was kind of hoping for 30 minutes of World Cup talk today. So here it is. You can blame him. The World Cup group stage ends today. In fact, I'm watching Uruguay beat Ghana in the first half here. Here's a couple things about the World Cup that I want to bring up from betting angles, okay? One, this is the tightest market. This is the most efficient market in the world, okay? More so than the NFL, because this is a worldwide market that is so liquid. You can get so much money down on this market that these lines are sharp, okay? What I find interesting about that is if you follow any professional bettors, I don't want to say professional bettors because they know better. When you follow any serious bettors who are like not square, but they're not pro, you know, like they're that pro am or they're that what would we call it, rec plus, where like they think they know enough about sports betting to talk wise about it. The people who like repeatedly say, oh, the NFL is the most efficient market in the world, you can't beat it, it's silly to think that you can beat it, so they're also the ones tweeting out the bet they have for every World Cup game. Now look, if you're doing it for an entertainment purpose, that's fine, right? If you're betting every World Cup game because it's fun and this is a unique tournament, happens every 4 years, why not, right? Have a little bit of action in every game. You know, set that amount. I have an entertainment amount, right? I have in my spectrum of bets that I make, I have my normal unit, and then I have my, like, you know, then you know, it scales up and down from there depending on how much I like the bet. And I have a bet amount, which is just, it's about half, if maybe a little less than half of one unit, that I call my entertainment amount. And that is the, I recognize that you know, there, I don't know if I really have, like, I'm solely putting a bet on this because I want a little entertainment out of this. I want to be able to watch a match with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of motivation on what I may want to have to occur, whatever it may be. If you're doing something like that, all more power to you. If the people that are all of a sudden everybody's like into soccer, acting like they know how to handicap these games, and it's funny as someone who bets soccer on a daily basis, you know, absent of a international tournament, it's funny to see the angles in which people are playing. It's interesting to see how they justify their bets, how they're approaching their handicapping. And look, everybody, this is how people learn, right? This is how you learn how to bet a sport or an event, is by processing through it, making bets and tracking results, stuff like that. But it's the point being, it's the people who will wisely tell you that the NFL is too efficient to beat long term unless you are a sharp or a pro, who are not talking that way about the World Cup, shows me just how naive some people are, and just how you know, I think that also speaks to how people possibly view the sport of soccer, especially from a betting standpoint. But A lot of upsets, you know, from game to game. I think Germany missing the elimination round, I think, was probably the biggest upset from the group stage. Something to remember going into the elimination round, which starts tomorrow, Netherlands and the United States. If you do not have a bet on the United States, you are not an American. But something to remember when you are betting in these elimination rounds now, your bet is for the regulation time only, okay? So if you take a team to win, let's say you take the United States on the money line to win their match tomorrow, that means that you are saying that they are going to win when regulation time is over. Now, when regulation time is over, if it is a draw, they will then go what's called to extra time, an additional 30 minutes of normal play. Your bet does not carry over. It is not like overtime in football or other sports. Your bet does not carry over. Your bet is decided and graded at the end of regulation. So a lot of people get confused when the team they back, it's a draw at the regulation, it goes into extra time, and then their team wins there, and then they go in their account to find out it was graded as a loss. That's because the bet that you are making is inside of regulation, the first 90 minutes plus stoppage time, whatever it is. The extra time afterwards, if it's needed, that's different. Penalties after extra time, that's different. If you want to take a team to simply advance to the next round, that is its own bet, okay? So if you want to take the United States tomorrow to advance, that is a bet. You can find that market. It's called to advance or to qualify, depending on the tournament. And depending on the book, that it'll be worded a little bit differently. But it's typically USA to advance, Netherlands to advance. That's how it's worded. And then you're going to notice the lines are going to be different than the money lines in the game, because it takes into the account that it could be a draw, that both teams potentially have more time to accomplish that, right? Or more opportunities, or however you want to put that. So game time, money lines, game bets, you know, both teams to score, all of that stuff, that's within inside regulation the first 90 minutes. Team to advance, that is saying whether it's in the regulation or extra time or penalties, when this all thing is said and done, this team's moving on to the next round. That's to advance. That's the bet you want for something like that. I have the United States plus half a goal, right? Which means if it's a draw or they win at the end of regulation, that bet's going to win because it's plus half a goal. And then I will likely have a little bit also on USA to advance. That's a homer bet. That's my entertainment bet. From a handicapping standpoint, though, I actually do like the United States plus half a draw. I think they can run with the Dutch. Last thing I'm going to say about the World Cup. A lot of people think that VAR is, you know, similar to like penalty, like things in like the like reviews in the NFL. So I had people early in the tournament think that VAR awarding penalties, because I think VAR awarded a couple penalties in the first few games, thought that VAR's existence would actually add to games, and they wanted to bet the overs. And if you watch enough of these and you pay it, and if you're watching every game and really paying attention to seeing what's happening, VAR takes away more goals than it adds because of all of the offside technology, right? The, you know, this person was offside by a pimple, therefore the goal does not count. So it's easy to think that when you see VAR award a penalty, it's easy to think that VAR's existence aids itself to the over. It's not the case. Second thing, with betting tendencies here, you know, a lot of people have pointed out that like first half unders have been pretty good, second half overs have been really good. Something that I have noticed is first half metrics are informing second half results pretty well. If you take metrics from the first half of these matches, shots on target, expected goals, dangerous attacks, depends on where you're getting your metrics and how pure they are. I have had success in not betting the game pre-flop, pregame, however you want to put it, not betting the game beforehand, but then waiting for halftime and analyzing the metrics that I use. Dangerous attacks is one of them. Possession, attacks, expected goals. Those are things I look at. And then letting that inform what the bet is for the second half, right? And what I mean by that is just the second half, right? I'm betting just the result within that 45 minutes. I've had better success with that than I have with betting these matches beforehand. That said, at the end of today, the groups will be, or the groups will be done, and the elimination round will be set. Everybody, that will be a great time to look at the brackets and look at every team's potential path to the semifinals and the finals, and that can inform a good bet to make on one of these teams getting through. I was getting prepared to make a significant wager on France because I think they look good. And then as the brackets were starting to break down, I realized they have England and Spain in their side of the bracket. Maybe things aren't going to be so easy for them. On the other side, you have Brazil, who's likely going to be on the easier side of the bracket, and they are the short shot right now. I think a +250, a lot of places to win the whole thing. That's very justified because they are very talented, and that side of the bracket is going to be a lot easier. The team that I think so far, we'll have to make sure that everything finalizes the way I think it's going to. I think Croatia around 35-1. They're on the easier side of the bracket, and they still look pretty strong despite their age. I think Croatia 35-1 is going to be worth a bet here going into the elimination round. I currently have Senegal 80-1 and United States 100-1 carried over. I think that's it. I think that's what I had. If Serbia gets in, I don't think they're going to, but I also have Serbia 150-1, but their game's later today, and I don't think I'm going to get so lucky for them to get in, but we shall see. I think that's it. One last content topic before I get into some housekeeping stuff. You know, it was so nice to hear everybody sort of tweet about their trip to Iowa. If you're not tracking, a handful of people, including the guys from You Can Bet on That, the guys from Crap Vegas, went out to Northern Iowa, I believe, to Diamond Joe Worth, and had a little meetup there. And it was just so nice to hear everybody's experience out there because we don't get to do a lot of those, right? We don't get to have a lot of meetups that are not in Vegas or Biloxi, right? I think I know there's been a handful in Atlantic City. I think I've only been to one, maybe two. But it's nice to hear people have the different experience. I think it's nice for us to bring this experience into smaller parts of America to let more people experience these sort of group meetups. And I concur with a lot of what people were saying. Like, look, when you have these smaller areas, smaller casinos, less amenities, there's going to be plenty to be like, I don't love this, right? I like Vegas or Biloxi or AC for these reasons, more resources around stuff like that. But the one thing that I heard a handful of people say that I agree with, having done sort of meetups at smaller locations like this, is having everybody in one central location in one casino is so nice because you wake up, you get into the casino, and people are just there. You can find people that are doing stuff. You don't have to track down people. You don't have to wonder where they are. You don't have to make the decision of like, do I want to hang out with those people or those people? Like, you are just sort of in the same area. I experienced this when we did Gamble Palooza at Foxwoods. You wake up, go to the gaming floor, people are there. It's great. I loved it. Unfortunately, it was, 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks after the birth of my child, so there was no way I was going to swing that. However, if there is another Midwest meetup, I look forward to attempting to get out there because I do enjoy those little small casino experiences. I had a number of them when I was a couple years ago when I was driving back and forth between here and Iowa to visit family. So as I heard people talking about it, I've never been to Diamond Joe Worth, but I just sort of pictured the experiences I've had at a couple of casinos there in Iowa, and it all sort of matched what my experience was like. So it was a lot of fun. If you haven't heard, the Crap Vegas did a recap, as did the guys from You Can Bet on That. So listen to those most recent episodes to hear what their experiences were. Okay. Last but not, I keep on saying last but not least and then adding on. This is what happens when you just hit record and don't have a structure. You don't really know when you're going to end or what, but I'm happy to have recorded today. Part of the reason why I didn't record on schedule like I was hoping to last week was my space still isn't quite my own. Not because of the baby, but because of family staying here. My workstation is in the guest area, so it's not easy for me to get access to my computer and record and stuff. That is slowly starting to right itself, and I have access to my area and stuff, and so I'm hoping to pump out more content, including some audio for Patreon. I cannot say enough for my supporters on Patreon. You keep me motivated. I really appreciate you guys sticking around. Patreon.com/abetterlife. Help me send my daughter to college. But the, you know, I, as a content creator, as a creative, I'm just gutted at every sort of week that goes by that I don't feel like I've sort of done enough to create, not just for myself, right, to fulfill like this drive that I have, but because I have so many great supporters that I want to sort of satisfy the agreement of support and delivering, right? And I think Adam Bauer said it best, that Patreon is the place where creators overpromise and underdeliver. And I feel like that's definitely been the case for The Better Life, more so than it has not. But it's a tough thing to figure out, because it's almost, as a creator, you're like, oh man, that was really good. I don't want that to just, like, I want everybody to hear that, right? And it's difficult to have that discipline of being like, okay, this is stuff that I'm just creating for the people who are true supporters. And so that's, I mean, 4 years later, it's still something that I'm still learning how to do. And the new situation that I'm in with having a kid, with, you know, having these smaller pockets of time to sort of do my own thing, you know, one thing that I have realized that I'm going to have to figure out is I need to figure out content that I can create on my own that I enjoy, where I don't have to rely on a co-host or a guest to interview or whatever it may be. So that way, you know, even if I can't get something scheduled, I can do what I'm doing right now, quickly fire up the mic and start talking into it, but create something that's worth listening to and something that I'm proud of and that I've enjoyed too. So that is something that I am learning. I'm putting a lot of thought into it right now when I'm going on walks and when I'm sitting in my chair with baby girl. I'm thinking, like, what's some of the solo content that I can make that would be good for me and my supporters. So for those of you that have stuck around, both, you know, if you have this show still subscribed in your feed, if you're a supporter on Patreon, if you've recently purchased something from the Better Merch Shop, bettermerch.com, I truly appreciate it. And when you go, you know, a week or two without hearing from me, I know a lot of you have been very nice saying, hey, you got bigger things to think about. And I appreciate that. But, I'm committed to the bit. I'm committed to, the better life. This is something I think about this, when I'm not involved in family, this is the next thing that I'm like constantly thinking about, is betting and gambling and the content space and stuff like that, because it's a community, it's a space that I really feel like I belong in, and one that I know that if I sever too much or the hiatus goes too long, that I may lose it. And so here I am, still here, still recording, still plugging away, still editing. I'm not going to edit this. I'm probably just going to throw this in the feed. There's a big change that's going to happen. My obsession with editing is going to decrease. Be like, you know what? I rambled for about 10 minutes on something no one cares about, but whatever. That's what the fast forward button's for. Y'all listen to this at 2x speed anyways. I don't know why I'm so worried about it. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. A few housekeeping notes. BetterMerch.com, that's where some merchandise is available. Just threw some Do Better hats and visors. If you remember the mask that I had, it said Do Better on the side of it. That Do Better wording is now on hats and visors. I'm actually getting that shipment in early next week. So they're in the store if you're interested. As well as one of those idiots who believes in analytics, those shirts are getting restocked. I'm also getting those early next week. So those are available there for anybody who wants it. Tip your dealer shirts are plentiful. I still have plenty in stock, and this is both a selling point and me just letting and maybe possibly passing along some a good hack here. I've had a handful of people say that they believe that their rating at a table or the service they're getting from dealers is improved because they are wearing that shirt and also tipping. And I'm gonna guess that if you're wearing that shirt, you're someone who tips dealers. There's a hack. The shirts are $20-something. I think that's a good price to put on possibly getting better ratings and better service at the table while you're there. So not only a marketing and selling point, but from gambler to gambler, not a bad deal. Casino gambling trips in 2023. August 9 through 11, I think, is Bet Bash. That's going to be downtown in Las Vegas. I intend on being there. There's a very good chance I'm going to be there. It is circled on the calendar. I've worked it out with the wife. It's going to work out for both of us. So I intend on being there. I will probably get in a couple days early. So I'm probably looking at something like the 7th through the 11th or something like that. No real details on days I'm going to be in and out and exactly where I'll be staying. I'll pass it along as I can. But barring any real disruption to life or serious changes in my wife's plans, I will be there. So if you want to be in Vegas around the time that I'm in Vegas and you want to throw some dice with me, we'll be happy to see you. Circle that week on the calendar. Mississippi Rob and I have been floating some Biloxi dates for spring 2023. That's going to be a little bit more difficult for me to pull off, but not impossible. You know, in the past, I've done Biloxi in 5 days, right? I get in before a weekend and I stay till like the Monday or something like that. I'm hoping I can sort of swing maybe like a 48-hour trip so we can get our Biloxi trip. I know Zach was interested. Me and Robin have been floating dates around. We're going to try to figure it out on a weekend that works. And maybe it's be a little bit trickier on my calendar to make it work, but I think a quick trip like that, probably like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think is probably when I would try to pull off rather than doing a weekend, do like a late week. And then, try to take advantage of some scheduling opportunities that I have on my calendar, but we will get that figured out. And then, no, I think that's it. That is it. I was going to say that those are the two trips that I have, semi-planned. Thank you again for all of your support. I appreciate all of it. Mark Duvall, I will be contacting you so we can finally record again. Mark has been patiently waiting for me to be like, okay, it's time. Mark, I'm going to follow up with you soon. Thank you, everybody, for listening, for your support. On behalf of every person who listens to this podcast, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.